Good evening. It's a beautiful evening. Appreciate the songs that we had and the thoughts and verses that Caleb shared. Laid a good foundation for the discussion tonight. The Gideon's International. Why are organizations like the Gideon's necessary? My mind went back to Genesis 5, 23 and 24, where Enoch walked and lived in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. From the very beginning of humans, it was God's plan and his desire that people would live and walk in close fellowship with him, with the Father and with the Son, like Enoch did. But then we know the sad entrance into humanity where Satan appeared in the form of the serpent. And he planted that seed of doubt in the heart of Adam and Eve. He said, did God really say? And I think that same enemy is out trying to plant that same seed of doubt today to question, did God really say? And then later we see that the Lord observed the wickedness on earth. He saw that everything that people thought and imagined was wicked. So wicked that he was sorry that he made man. It broke his heart that people turned away and followed their own selfish, sinful ways and forgot about him. Then in Genesis 12, we have the story of Abraham, where God told Abraham, he called Abraham and he told him, he said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to others. We must always remember that when God blesses us, it's not just so that we have a nice, easy life, but it's so that we can be a blessing to others. And in Isaiah 56, he says, I will bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord. I will bring others too, besides my people Israel. Isaiah 66, 19, I will send those who survive to be messengers to the nations, to all the lands beyond the sea that have not heard of my fame and seen my glory. There will I declare my glory to the nations. God is interested in declaring his glory to the nations around the world. Not just our next door neighbors, but our neighbors all over the earth. And then Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Teach them to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Then in Revelation 21, 26, and all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. Revelation 14, 6, and I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the everlasting gospel to preach to all the people of the earth, to every nation, every tribe, every language, and people. And then Revelation 21, 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. And 22, 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let everyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. 22, 20, and 21. Jesus said, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. That's a wonderful story. It's a story of God reaching out to every nation and language on the globe. He wants all to come to know him. Is there a need for an organization like the Gideons? Yes. And I'm glad God called people to form that organization. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. There were other organizations. We had the Navigators, the Shantymen, and many others. Today we have Billboard Evangelism. Recently some of us heard Johnny Miller talk about that. We have the Gideons. We have many others. There's one unique one that I just want to mention here in the beginning that I've been intrigued with recently. And I used some of this story in Bible school this year for the young people, for the children. But I've been intrigued with the life of Jack Miner. He lived in the southernmost town of Canada, Kingsville, Ontario, close to the shores of Lake Erie. But he did many things, and I'm just going to mention one of his projects, and I would say this is probably the most rewarding project of all that he had, and it was the project of the banding of the birds, migratory birds, geese and ducks. In 1909, or from 1909 to 1915, he banded 50,000 ducks. And in the years 1915 to 1969, he banded 65,000 Canadian geese, Canada geese. And then he recaptured some of them, and he learned, there was a lot learned about the migratory routes and so on of the waterfowl. But the interesting thing is, and this came about in a very interesting way, Jack was a man that loved the Lord, and he was always seeking ways to serve the Lord. Well, one day Jack was in his hometown there in a shoe store with two of his friends. And they were visiting together when a plainly dressed Salvation Army girl came in. And she approached them with a small roll and said, "Buy a calendar, 25 cents. And Jack was the last to shake his head for no. And suddenly he noticed that him and his two friends were dressed with warm overcoats, and this young Salvation Army girl, was dressed in summer clothes. And he changed his mind instantly. He said, "Here, I'll take one." And she swirled around with a beaming face and held out his paper roll, and he dropped a quarter in her extended hand. And he carelessly pushed the roll in his shirt pocket or coat pocket. A few days later, he says, "I noticed a beautiful picture hanging on our dining room wall. Mrs. Miner had discovered it in my overcoat pocket and hung it on the wall. I lifted the outer cover and found it contained a selected verse for each day of the year. This was the first one I read. From this day I will bless you. One after another, I read and reread those wonderful promises that seemed to fill the whole room with heavenly bread right from God's own oven of love. The overflow of my heart was, how can I pass this on?" One morning, real early, Jack was firing up the kiln to burn a batch of drain tile, which he made, that was his livelihood, he made for the season. In the early morning stillness, as Jack was sitting by the pond gazing at the stars, suddenly he heard the swish of wings of a flock of ducks as they quietly dropped on the pond 200 feet away. At that moment, the calendar Bible verses came to my mind like shooting stars across the heavens. God's radio said, "Stamp those verses on what is now the backside of your duck and goose tags." I threw the blanket off my shoulders and jumped to my feet. For that moment, I had my tagging system completed. In less than a week, I had the fowls of the air carrying the word of God, and in 6 months, they were delivering it from the sunny south side of the Atlantic to the far-off Indians in Hudson Bay. As the native hunters shot the Canada geese for food, they discovered that some of the birds had a strange band of metal around one of their legs. Eager to discover the meaning of the bands, the natives took them to their local missionary. The missionaries read the verses on the bands and explained that these were Bible verses, which were the word of God. Among many of the native people believed that these messages had come directly from God, and several of the northern communities exploded with true Christian revival, the greatest experienced among them for many years. One duck killed in Louisiana brought to my home 39 interesting letters of inquiry. Among them was a letter from the Arkansas State Prison. The letter was written by an inmate who had been imprisoned for passing a bad check. He and his cellmate, a convicted murderer, had read in the newspaper about the shooting of the bandit Bird in Louisiana. Both of them were eager to learn more about the man who had banded them and his savior. Little did I think when I stamped that verse on the tag of that little duck that little duck carried away that the message would ever find its way into a prison cell and lodge in the heart of a murderer. Jack sometimes referred to the ducks and geese carrying the bands with Bible verses on as missionaries of the air. And there's multitudes of stories of people that received these and turned to the Lord and found healing from the Lord, from his word. One southern sportsman was proudly displaying the goose that he shot to his friends on a downtown street corner. As the curious crowd examined the inside of the tag, deeply stamped were the following four words: "Have faith in God." One who was present wrote me that when those last four words were read, all voices seemed hushed, for they had the effect of a real benediction on that street corner. I just thought that that's an amazing way of spreading the word. So the Gideons aren't the only ones that spread the word of God. The Gideons International. It has been said that the genius of the Gideon Association is that it is a disciplined ministry. Some people today may think that they overemphasize 1 Corinthians 14:40. Can anyone quote that verse? 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." But you know, as we think about it, I think that's probably one of the major keys that the Gideon organization is going and growing strong as it is today and has for 114 years. Many organizations have come and gone during that time. But the Gideons are still going strong and growing. And so I think that that's a strong point. It's true that the policy book is about that thick. But there was a lot of prayer and thought put into it. Today, Gideons are located in over 100 and actually in 900. And I read in the Gideon paper that came out today said they reached the 195th country now. And I'll talk a little more about that a little later. But the Gideon ministry, the rules and policies, they are designed to ensure maximum efficiency and minimum expenditure of time to spread God's eternal word to every part of the earth so that every person in the world will have the opportunity to hear God's voice speak to them personally, inviting them to a personal relationship to himself through the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a worthy purpose and goal. Moving back in time, in the fall of the year in 1898, a man by the name of John H. Nicholson of Jamesville, Wisconsin, he came to a hotel room in Wisconsin, in a town in Wisconsin, for the night. The hotel was crowded that night. It was so crowded that there wasn't room for everyone to have a room. So they suggested that John Nicholson take a double room with Samuel E. Hill of Beloit, Wisconsin. And because John Nicholson, as a young man, had promised his dying mother that he would read God's word and pray every day of his life, and because it had been his custom for many years to read the Bible before retiring, the two men discovered they were both serious Christians, and they had their evening devotions together that night in that motel room. And on their knees before God that night, God brought thoughts to their mind that later developed into the Gideon organization. It was about a year later that a meeting was called, and it was in Jamesville, Wisconsin, at the YMCA. Three people were present. It doesn't always take a big crowd. Three people were present at that meeting. These three men organized with Samuel E. Hill as president, Will J. Knight as vice president, and John Nichols as the secretary treasurer. With much prayer and careful thought and reading Judges chapters 6 and 7, they chose the name Gideon's for the association. And the reasons. Gideon was a man who was willing to do exactly what God wanted him to do. Humility, faith, and obedience were the great elements of his character. And that was the standard of the Gideon Association in the beginning. And in trying to establish themselves with members, their goal was that each man would be like Gideon, ready to do God's will at any time, at any place, and in any way that the Holy Spirit would lead. So that was the beginning back in the late 1800s of the Gideon organization. So now, as we look at the Gideon organization as their beginning and early years, and you know, many of the Gideons in the early days were travelers. So is it any wonder that their first project was placing Bibles in hotel rooms? And you know, today, a Gideon Bible can be found in the majority of the 13.4 million hotel rooms worldwide. Isn't that amazing? Small beginning, but far-reaching effects. The Gideons placed 1.9 million hotel Bibles in 2012. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be to God, which always leads us to triumph in Christ. Through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And that's the goal of the Gideons. Diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And don't we all want to be involved in that? In 1908, then, there was another meeting. This meeting was the Gideons with pastors of churches. Because pastors were taking an interest in what was happening in the Gideon Association, and it lined up with what they were interested in. And so there was a meeting called. And here it was, they recognized the Gideons as an arm of the church, and in partnership with the pastors and the churches, and the pastors agreed that churches would give financial support to the Bible placement program, and thank you for taking up that offering on Sunday. It will go for Bible placement. And it's been a practice ever since 1908. Churches have been doing this, so that we're in a partnership, the Gideons and churches, with pastors. And 40% of the church offerings will go for the international outreach, placing Bibles. Article number one in the Gideon manual, it talks about the name, Gideon's International. Article 2 then talks about the object of the Gideons is to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the object. Not just to place Bibles there to look nice, but the object is to win others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's done. And their goal is through the Association of Gideon, of Christian Business and Professional Men for Service. And we'll talk a little more about that later. And through personal testimony and personal work of the individual Gideons, and through the placing of the Bibles, God's holy word, the whole Bible or portions of the Bible in hotels, hospitals, schools, and many various institutions, and also through the distribution of personal work, using them as a personal work by the Gideons themselves. Article 3 then And I will mention at this point, too, that there's cards. And we do have a card rack here in the back of the church. And it's something that could be used a lot more. And I'm going to mention that a little later as well. But it's something that that have been made available. And it does two things. The cards, whether it's cards, memory cards, various kinds of cards that you can give to friends. And it also generates funds. I'll just mention a personal incident. A few years ago when we had the ice storm and we went around cleaning up branches in the community, Lloyd Yoder, instead of... We weren't looking for handouts. We were doing volunteer work. But Lloyd Yoder decided to place Bibles by sending a thank you card to those of us that cleaned up his branches in his yard. And then he bought Bibles for the Gideons to pass out in the Bible distribution program. And so the cards serve two purposes. And then we have the membership. In Article 3, the membership, it consists of business and professional men, except clergymen, because pastors are were partners. And so the pastors do not join up as Gideons, but they have their role as pastors in the churches. And remember that the churches and the Gideon organization were in partnership. But and these business and professional men that join up as Gideon members, they're people who believe in the Bible, believe it is the inspired Word of God, and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and they have received Him as their personal Savior. They know Him as their friend and their shepherd, their Father. And they endeavor to follow Him in their daily walk of life. And they are members in good standing of evangelical or Protestant churches throughout the country. Those are the qualifications of people that want to take up membership with the Gideons. Membership fees are paid annually. And the fees that the membership fees that are paid, also that money is used to buy Bibles to distribute. And also that if a Gideon prefers, they can have a lifetime membership with the Gideons, pay a one-time fee. The Gideons' wives are invited to become members of the International Auxiliary, and their work is to assist the Gideons in carrying out their objectives. And I think it was in the year of 1946, after World War II, that the auxiliary was given the responsibility by the Gideons to present nurse testaments to to registered nurses in all American hospitals. So they're trying to reach every possible place with Bibles to make them available, that people can find them easily. And it's amazing how people find the Bible at a time of need. And there's multitudes of stories to testify of that. Just a little update. I just got the Gideon magazine the other day in the mail. And there was a few updates besides the 195th country that we're in now. And I was blessed by Craig Warren, his message in the beginning of the paper. He's the executive director. And I'm just going to share what he said. He said, "I'm convinced that we live and serve in some of the most exciting times in Christian history. In spite of all the conflicts in today's world, God is moving and opening doors we never thought possible. People are being drawn to Christ in unprecedented numbers. Just a few years ago, we could not have imagined placing 85 million copies of God's Word. In Asia alone, over 14.6 million scriptures were placed this fiscal year. However, now is not really the time to relax. We must continue the work while it is day. And that's the attitude we need. In 07, the Gideon International were exploring ways to reach today's teenagers, young adults, with a clear gospel message. And the result was the Life Book. I don't know, have any of you ever heard of the Life Book? Sam has. The Life Book is the Gospel of John, or the Gospel of John is the core of the Life Book, let's say. Its impact has been amazing, probably beyond our wildest imaginations. It's reaching millions of teenagers across the globe with the gospel, a clear gospel message from the Gospel of John. And if you want to learn more about the Life Book, you can go online, www.thelifebook.com. It's fairly easy to remember. www.thelifebook.com. I need a little water. I mentioned earlier about the partnership with pastors and churches. That's been a tremendous blessing over the years in maximizing the impact of our witness for Christ. And once a year, there's a pastor's banquet held locally, and pastors from the local churches are invited to participate. And it's a relationship that, as Gideons, we want to be strengthened, and we see as a very important relationship. One of the results of that relationship is your prayer support. And that, as Gideons, we know that's very foundational for all of our activities, the prayer support of God's people, of church members. And again, I will say thank you for the offering for the Scripture Fund on Sunday. And Bibles will continue to be purchased and placed around the world because of church offerings. And then another reason we constantly need new members. Gideon organization needs members to do the work. They need Gideons. So I would just like to give out the invitation. If you'd like to be involved in a work of getting scriptures out, there's many different ways of helping. But see Sam or another Gideon and tell him of your interest, that you're interested in participating in as a Gideon. We need more Gideons. We live in a big world, and there's still a lot of people that need the Word of God. It's not a time to slack up, but we want to keep going and moving forward. And then again, let's remember the card program. It provides Bibles, and I mentioned also it serves the purpose of your giving a card. Somewhere in my notes, I describe it a little more. I'll see if I come across that. In February of this year, the Gideons founded a new camp in a new country, which made number 195 country that we're in. It's the Republic of Nauru. Does anyone know where that is? Sam does. Where is it, Sam? Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember how big it is? 10,500 people. I think it's the third smallest country in the world. But it's a country where the people need the Word of God. And so we're glad that they're organized, that they have a camp organized there now. In fact, it's what was it, 6 miles, 4 kilometers wide and 6 kilometers long, so it's not very big. But we're thankful that that the Gideons are now there. In a recent scripture blitz in Bolivia, the Gideons far exceeded their goal. Their goal was to distribute 80,000 scriptures in schools. And they actually ended up distributing 146,000 scriptures, and without any refusals, can you imagine? The Blitz team members said that they sensed a definite hunger for God's word. Oscar is a man from Colombia. He was arrested when he landed in Miami, Florida. And he was charged with possession and drug trafficking. He was sentenced, all his charges together, he was sentenced to 100 years in prison. While in prison, he read the Gideon New Testament, and he realized the greatness of God. And he realized his need of God, of a relationship with God. And he continued to read, and he received Jesus as his Savior and his Lord, and now he's serving in behind the bars. A life was changed because there was a Bible there available for him to read. Isn't that something? Here's a little more about the Gideon cards. It's a way to donate Bibles, to send God's word out, and it's a way to honor somebody special. You can send a card that says, "I'm praying for you." You can send a card that remembers you on a special day or in memory. It's easy. It's simple to use. You simply choose a card, and the card rack is in the back of the church. Where is it, Sam? Is it just behind on the wall? By the ladies' restroom. So check it out. But you will find the cards there, and it's simple. You choose a card, the card you want, then you personalize it and send it and donate Bibles to the Gideons International. This program has sent out millions of copies of the Word of God. So it's something that any of us can be involved in. It's a unique opportunity. Here's something that a pastor from Little Rock, South Carolina said. He said, "There's nothing more important for this world than the Word of God. And giving the gospel to reach people who are lost. Alderman says that there's no organization on earth that is as effective and productive as doing this, at doing this than the Gideons International." And many people are involved in doing that, But I am amazed at what is done through the work of the Gideons International in getting the Word of God out. I have some stories of people, lives that have been changed. And some of these are through receiving a Bible, you know, as in a school or wherever. Some of these are people find a Bible in a hotel room, or maybe in a hospital, or in a doctor's office, or in some other institution. But the Bibles are effective wherever they are. And when people pick them up and read them, here's some of the things that can happen. I'm just going to share a testimony or two. This one is from a girl named Shamilia Panilla, and she was a student at Grace College. She says, "God has completely changed my life. I grew up as a Buddhist in a Buddhist family. My parents are from Sri Lanka and moved to the U.S. to get their higher education degrees. I had never spoken to anyone about Buddhism. I just had a lot of questions about the pain I saw in the world. I felt that there was a God. I couldn't imagine us being a proper presentation of him with our selfishness and our pride and the way we hurt others. That's where I was in my life when I saw Gideon handing out New Testaments on campus one day. I remember putting it immediately into my pocket because I didn't want anyone to see that I had taken it. I went back to my dorm room and started reading Matthew. That's where I learned about Jesus. I learned what his purpose was, and I found out the solution to all the problems I had seen in the world, and that they are all caused by sin. By the end of my freshman year of college, I had accepted the Lord. I was really happy and wanted to tell my family. I told my mother first, thinking that she would have the better reaction, but she was heartbroken and disappointed. As soon as I said the word Christian, she immediately recoiled, as if I'd become a completely different person, and she couldn't recognize me anymore. She told me she didn't want to have anything more to do with me. She told me that until I accepted the truth about my family and Buddhism and had come to my senses, she would keep her distance. She only wanted a relationship with me again when we were both on the same page. That was about 14 months ago, and she hasn't spoken to me since. I've tried in numerous ways and at different times, but I haven't been able to reach her. As a woman, I always wanted to have a good relationship with my mother like other girls had. I wanted a mother who was kind, loving, and gentle toward me. But I have found over the last 14 months that all these qualities are infinitely more available in my Heavenly Father. I'm so thankful just to know him and to experience all of his characteristics, those qualities that are found perhaps only in tiny portions in human beings are so full and deep to me and available to me at any time since I've come to know him. He has really comforted me through his word and through his grace. God has completely changed my life, my way of thinking. I never thought that I would be a Christian. I was very detached from that way of thinking. And it's strange to think that I now love to go to church. I love to read my Bible. I love to pray and to get to know him better. Those are the things that I never thought would happen to me. Once again, my name is Jamilia, and I have experienced grace. If the Gideons would not have went to that campus and passed that Bible up, would she have been reached? Think of it. It's amazing. Another story. Here's a 13-year-old boy, John Price. John Price says, "My parents were atheists. They were also alcoholics." John was sitting in the hotel room in Miami, Florida. His mother was passed out drunk on the bed. His father was bar hopping for the evening, and John was bored. After watching some television, he began to look around in the drawers and discovered a Gideon Bible. John had been told by his atheist parents not to read the Bible as it's filled with fairy tales. But Mom was passed out on the bed. Dad was gone. Like any curious teenager, he decided to take a look. As he opened the Bible, his eyes found Psalm 27, verse 10. "When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." He snapped it shut. That verse had pierced his soul. It spoke to him. It was real. This book knew him. John took the Bible with him. When he left the hotel room, he hid it under his bed at home and read it every chance he got when his parents weren't around. One day he realized his need for God, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, John K. Price is a pastor serving in Clintwood, Virginia, all because of God's grace, a church that gave funds, and a Gideon who put the Bible in a drawer. Isaiah 55:11 was fulfilled. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The Bible found him and brought him to the Lord. These stories always move me. Here's another one. It just shows how a lonely person and how the circumstances were such that brought them to find the Bible. So is it important that Bibles are in hotel rooms and that they're passed out on campus? It is very important. Let me give this one you. She understood forgiveness. Carolyn Berry. It was Labor Day weekend. I was away with some friends visiting sites in Washington, D.C. area. We were out late on Saturday night, and I came back to the hotel and realized when I woke up on Sunday morning that I was alone. For the first time in my life, I became very afraid. I did not know the area or anyone at all. I had no car, and I was far from home. I remember looking out the hotel window and seeing a church nearby, and the sight made me think about God. I had nowhere else to turn, so I thought maybe God could help me. Through fear and desperation, I sensed that I needed a change since my life was not what it was supposed to be. It was then that I knelt down and asked God to help me. Tears would not stop flowing, and I became aware of something that something was happening. I stood up after spending some time in prayer and saw a Gideon Bible in the room. I had never read the Bible before. But suddenly I remembered someone telling me that the Gospel of John was a great place to start. Because I was all alone, had no idea how long I would be there in the hotel, I took the Bible and went downstairs to the pool area. I sat beside the pool and opened the Bible to the Gospel of John. Once I began, I could not stop reading. I will never forget coming to chapter 8 and reading about the woman who was caught in adultery. I was so struck by how Jesus addressed her accusers and told them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." One by one, they put their stones down. Then verse 11, Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." After reading that story, I realized that I knew what it meant. I understood forgiveness. Jesus heard my prayers that I had prayed earlier that morning. I was forgiven. I felt it in my heart. Something was very different. The fear was gone. I kept reading all day long. Later that afternoon, my friends returned to the hotel and asked me, "So what did you do today?" I answered, "I got saved." I wanted to go home and tell my family what had happened. I thank God for the Gideon Bible that was there for me that Sunday morning. I'm writing to testify to the fruit of your labor in the Lord for souls. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord in supplying the Word of God all over the world. Carolyn Berry. There's a lot of other stories, but God is changing lives through His Word. His Word is that song we sang, "Oh, wonderful, wonderful Word of the Lord." It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. What's more worthwhile than getting that Word out to where people can read it and take a personal testament and share with people? Just share the Word however we can, whether it's with geese and ducks or whatever way we can share the Word. Let's get it out there. There's still many, many people, and there's an openness in the world. All over the world there's an openness. People are hungry. They want something more than they have. So let's get the Word out there. Sam, would you have more to say? Elmer. Well, the King James has been the faithful over the years. I did notice in the update today, and I have it here in my notes, that they have approved. Did you read that, Sam? I wrote it down. Let me just turn to that. What is the translation they approve, Sam? Yeah, I have it here. It's the English Standard Version. They've been firm on the Bible being accurately translated, And I guess this version, they have felt comfortable that it's been an accurate translation. So it has been approved now, and it doesn't mean that it's going to replace the King James, as I understood the article, but it's another option held out as a modern translation. Is that right, Sam? Yeah. Does that answer your question? Okay, Gary. Good. Well, good, good. We're glad it was there. I could have said a little more about local Gideon work. There are two camps, the south in Hutch, the south and the north camp. We're a part, Sam and I. Is there other Gideons here tonight, too? Perry, sure, of course, Perry. I knew you were a Gideon, yeah. Sam has and Perry have been Gideons for a long time, way longer than I have. Yes, David.
Just to mention, Albert Miller was a faithful Gideon.
Yes, yes, Albert was also a very faithful Gideon. Yes. But we have the two camps here, and what is 4th Street, the dividing line in Hutch, is the south camp. Will supply for the hotels and schools in the south part, and then the north camp. But we do help each other, and because I've helped in the north of the 4th Street too. And I get hotels. We try to cover twice a year, April and October. And we go through every room, check the Bibles. If there's a Bible missing, put a new one there. If there's a Bible that's been written in or something's wrong with it, we'll replace it with a new one. And then we also get to the schools. What else should we say, Sam? Oh, I see another hand back there. Paul.
Can you describe how you distribute Bibles in the schools now?
Okay. We do it from the streets, generally, unless the school invites us in. Is that right, Sam? Did you hear that? Okay. In the rural areas, generally, we're able to go into the schools and give Bibles to fifth graders. In the schools in Hutch, generally, we're on the sidewalks when they dismiss, and we have enough Gideons placed so everyone has the opportunity to get one as they come out, and that works well as well. Okay, the South Camp has from 4th Street South and all of Reno County and all of Kingman County, yes. Okay, and hopefully there's camps all around that they can cover all the schools and hotels. And then we also have blitzes at times in different places, Wichita, Kansas City, where Gideons from various camps can come and help. And when is that?
Given it's speaking of the fall of the month, the fall of the year.
The fall of the year. Okay.
In Wichita State.
Okay.